Chodesh Tov, everyone. I'm Elisheva, second to oldest of the 14 kids. So I really got a big gist of what goes on in the Machlis home. I'm very honored to meet with so many women who are interested in learning about Hachnasat Orchim, because learning is like doing. We learned, this was the way of life. Hachnasat Orchim was our way of life. We were born into it, and this is just what we did. My parents ingrained in us that Olam Chesed Yibaneh, that it's the way that we could build the world. The world is in a destruction, and this is how we could build it. And they would often, and I think that it's not a coincidence that today is Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, when there's the big destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And as we know, Ahavat Chesed, the love of kindness and of doing chesed, is the opposite of sinat chinam, which is why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, because of sinat chinam and baseless hatred. And I think that the main teaching I want to give over today is just that Hachnasat Orchim is not just a mitzvah that we do, like washing our hands, like putting on tzitzis, like lighting the candles. It's really a way of life. And if we learn about how we could really live it, it will really be helpful for us to just do it in an easier way. It doesn't always come naturally, and it's not always easy. But I think if we open our heart to really, really understand what it is, to bring in guests, to be hospitable, then we could really have an easier time in doing it. A lot of times people think, like, you know, I don't have a big enough house, I don't have the means, I don't have, you know, the way of doing it. And the truth is that if we open our hearts, it's not always about giving to the other person a meal. A lot of times it's Hachnasat Orchim, just to let them in our heart and notice them and just see them and just say, you know, give a good word. Oh, you look so beautiful. A lot of times I remember going to the Kotel with my mother, Allah Shalom, and she didn't have money to give the, you know, it was early morning, like Nate's, like 6:30, you know, 6. And she would see a bunch of beggars, like at the entrance of the Kotel. And she would always, like, walk over to them and give them a big hug and big kiss. And she would always say, I just forgot my wallet, but I want to say, like, you should have the best day and the best week. And if it was Friday, she would say Shabbat Shalom and be so warm. And it felt like much more than money. And so she would always tell us that Hachnasat Orchim is not always about the money, about the meal. It's about letting them in your heart, about accepting them, about seeing that someone else is there. And I think that if we also know that we're all one, that we're all brothers and sisters, we're all one family. The way we were educated is that we're all one. My father would say we're one hand. So you can't say, I don't like this finger, I don't like that finger. He would always say, we like all the fingers, we like our whole body. And this is all of Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael is all about just loving everyone and connecting to everyone and giving to everyone and seeing everyone. And oftentimes it wasn't easy because they would let in everyone, and everyone is everyone. Like we had different kinds of people. I mean, we had Jews and non-Jews, and we had all kinds of Jews and all kinds of non-Jews, up to bishops and priests. And we had many Jews, like just different, you know, different in the whole spectrum, from yeshiva bachrim till all the way, never saw Shabbos, and this was their first Shabbos. And my parents always taught us it's so important to just see everyone who they are and accept them in our heart. And as soon as we know that we really have achdut in our heart, then we'll be able to just flow better and outpour what we really have to give everyone. And sometimes my father says, you know, sometimes people can't be verbal and can't serve a meal. So just maybe send an SMS and just say, you know, I was thinking about you. You're so great. You're so awesome. The way they taught us is that Hachnasat Orchim is really comes from, we learn Hachnasat Orchim from Hashem, that this is Hashem's world, and Hashem has about 8 billion people, and he's letting us all in his world. And in his world, he gives us family, and he gives us kids, and he gives us, you know, everything everyone needs, food and drink and everything. Thank you. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nehyeh bidvaro. So Hashem just gives us everything that we need. So this is where we're learning it from. And I remember how it all started. I was in third grade. Well, up to third grade, we always have, like, you know, one little table of guests. But in third grade, I remember my father said, "Today is a very, very big day." And we all looked at him like, "Why? Why is this a big day?" And he said, "We got another table." So we got a second table and a third table. We had a dining room table, which opened, and then we had a second table and a third table. And he took all of our hands. I'm the second to oldest, and I think I had, by then, like 5 or 6 under me. I have a year under me, I have twins, and then a year and 2 years under me, I have a brother, and 3 years under me, I have another brother. So I think we were about like 6 or 7 children, I'm not even sure. And here I have, thank you. We had 6 or 7 children. He took all of our hands, my mother and my father, and we just danced around the table. And I remember how we just felt that this was like the most awesome thing in the world. Like, we could have more guests. Like, that was like the most special thing. And they really brought it into our lives. Like, they always would say, "Smile to the guests. Be nice to them. They have nothing. Come on." And we would smile. And my father would say, "Come on, that's not a smile." You know, and he would really practice with us how it looks to show the love, show the happiness. You know, really, really let them in. Not just like, "Oh, here's your seat." You know, he would say, "Come on, be warm, be nice." And my mother was the queen of that. Anyone who knew my mother, alas shalom, she always had a big smile on her face. And she always made the other person feel so amazing about themselves. I remember walking with her in Geula, and there was this very, 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 very poor woman who was dressed literally in rags. And my mother walked over to her and said, "Wow, I love the buttons on your purse." And like, it was only my mother who could really see something real and notice something, and the lady felt so good about herself. So I think that they really taught us how this was the most exciting mitzvah, and to really let them into our house, but more than into our house, into our hearts. And my father's and mother's favorite saying was, "If there's love, when there's love, there's room." We would always say, "There's no room, there's no room." And they would say, "When there's love, there's room." And as the family grew bigger, and the house didn't grow bigger, and there were more and more people that came in, they would always say, "When there's love, there's room. When there's love, there's room." And sometimes after the third table, so that was in third grade, there was the fourth and the fifth and the sixth and the seventh and the eighth, and we're up to 12 today. And 12 tables, which each one seats about 10, 9 or 10, what? Yeah. Every Thursday, the cleaners come. And I mean, it used to be that, like, I grew up when there were no cleaners. It was just my mother and we were 4 girls first and then 2 boys. So the 4 girls, like, we were her helpers, and it was, like, so much fun. Like, we moved the furniture outside. We set up the tables. You know, as my mother had her 13th baby, she said it's getting a little hard to do everything alone, and she got some cleaning help. But until then, like, it was just us. Like, I remember my mother washing the floors and us making, you know, the cakes, and each one had their job of what they're doing. And that was, like, fun. It wasn't a burden, because that's what they taught us, that giving is happiness, giving is fun, and the more you give, the more you receive. And so they would always say, like, if you give with a smile, you'll receive with a smile, and you're building a whole world. And I think that part of the reason the book is so successful, for those of you who read the book, I think it's because it was such a real book. It's not a book about like this angel or the saint. I mean, she was like an angel, but it was just a regular woman who grew up like all of us and had her struggles like all of us and just always took another step for another person. And I think that's why everyone loves the book, and it's still like, you know, they're making more and more editions of this book, even though it's 7 years almost later after she passed away. And I think that everyone loves it because it's just so awesome and so real, that her everyday struggles of how she really, you know, always tried to stretch herself for another person, try to just take that extra step for the other person. What did you say?
The name of the book.
The name of the book is, Emuna, Love and Chicken Soup. Amuna with Love and Chicken Soup. Sorry, I blanked out. Okay. No, it's located in Ma'alot Tafna, which is near Ramat Eshkol. You're all invited. And there's always room. Yeah. Sukkot was one of the most beautiful chagim in my house, in my parents' house. One of the most, they took the whole yard, we have a big yard, and they would build a sukkah, but not just a sukkah, a huge, 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 it was double our living room, double or triple our living room, and my father had a thing that we should all sleep in the sukkah, so we also had bedrooms in the sukkah, and we also had all the guests over in the sukkah, so it was very, very, very special and very exciting, and we would always decorate it very, very beautifully. And everyone was always, it was beautiful. It was very, very beautiful. Ma'alot Tafna. Same house. I think my parents moved twice. One was from 132 to 137. And in 137, we moved next door. And those were our three houses that I grew up in. And until today, my father's in that house. And Neve Slim. So Hachnasas Archem, we really learn from Avram Avinu and Sarah Imenu, who they had four entrances to their house. And the simple interpretation is that, you know, just four ptachim, four entrances, so that everyone, wherever they're coming from, it should be convenient and they shouldn't have to travel and go far. But my parents taught us that the four ptachim, the four openings of the home, wasn't really openings to the physical home, it was opening of their heart. That they opened themselves and they opened their heart to people that were different than them. You know, the people over here are from our type, and those people are from a different type. So they would say, like, you know, we're not Chabad, we're not Karlin, we're not this, we're not that, but we're going to open our heart to everyone, to the people who do understand, the people who don't understand, the people who already observe Shabbos, the people who don't observe Shabbos. There's so much uniqueness in everyone that we could learn from, so much from every single person. And the main thing they said is that Avram and Sarah taught us is to imitate Hashem, that since Hashem is the main one who teaches us Hachnasas Orchem in this world, so we have to imitate him. And my parents' favorite saying is imitati Odei, you know, that we have to be it means like imitating Hashem, imitating God, and that we have to go in His ways, follow Hashem ways, the halachta bidrachav, and mahu rachum, af ata rachum, the way that Hashem is so kind and so full of pity, we should be so kind, full of kindness and pity, and full of pity to the other one. Because that's how Hashem is, you know, when you know, sometimes we do not good things in the world, and Hashem keeps on, one of the traits of Hashem is that he keeps us going as we're rebelling against him. You know, he never says, oh, that's it, you're finished. And that's how we have to be. And a lot of times people that came to my parents' door were not so pleasant, to say the least. They were smelly, they didn't have homes, they were very homeless, drunks, druggies, people who just came out of jail, people who had very, very hard lives, And my mother always would say, look at them. Look at their neshama. Don't look at their clothing. Look how beautiful they are. And we would say, Ima, but they, like as a little kid, I remember saying, Ima, but they smell. And she would say, but don't you know what they went through in their life? And she would tell me this whole sob story of how, you know, that this kid was from a young age, they lost their parents, or you know, some kind of story of how I should create in myself some empathy towards the person, and not just look if they're wearing a nice shirt or not. Like she would say, look at their neshama. Yeah. So at the beginning, when I was younger, we would actually right. Yeah. So it's interesting. I think it just became word of mouth. Like when we grew up, I remember sitting by the phone, and there were no cordless phones. There was a wall with a phone. If we were lucky to have later on, I'm talking about like when I was already able to answer the phone, and we had a notebook, and we would mark down how many people are coming. So you know, at the beginning it was like 3 + 5 + 7 + 2, and okay, 25 people. But at a certain point, there were so many people, and it grew and grew and grew that my mother just bought huge pots, and we just always made the maximum. But that was for years. I remember writing lists, you know, okay, how many people are expected? About 18 people. Okay, about 25 people, about 30 people, and then we would just add like 5 more, and that's it. But it really, really grew, and people heard about it. People really, what? My mother with our help, yeah. All the cooking. We never had, like today there's already chesed girls, but when we were around, when we were growing up, there were no chesed girls. We were the chesed girls. And it was, you know, like in Hebrew they say bekef. You know, it was really, really, it was fun. It was, you know, I was in charge of the baking, and my other sister was in charge of the chickens, 20 chickens to cook, you know, yeah. Right. So that's like the number one question about the Machlis family, how my mother was able to have 14 children. And really, to be really, really, really honest, being one of those 14 children, we always felt like the only child. And I remember going to high school. I went to a pretty modern high school. And they would always say, so you're an only child? And I would say, an only child with 13 siblings. And all of us always felt very, very well taken care of. My mother had a certain way of really stretching her heart and really expanding her heart to each and every one of us. And I remember, like, my little sister, Batsheva is her name. She is probably, like, 20 years younger than me. And she always says that my mother always would make her special tuna sandwiches, because she liked tuna and she didn't like whatever my mother made. And I remember each one of us had a special connection to my mother, and we all felt that we were like the favorite child. Like we never felt like, oh, because there's all those guests, we're not even looked at. And my mother had a special policy of having the 10-minute policy, for those of you who know it. It's the 10 minutes a day, and she would really, really try to do it. She would like have a list, and she would, you know, check off our names like as she went on with the day, to just really make sure that she, you know, really spent the time with each one of us. And if she didn't, so then she would sometimes just take us out and say, you know, really, I haven't seen you because you were in high school, because you were in school or whatever, and I'm just catching up. And she would take us for ice cream or take us out for, you know, just an outing. Like sometimes we would go with her to the bank, but it was just so much fun. And she really, really, she was very, very warm, very loving, very caring. And we never felt that like the guests took away. We were always first priority, even though they also felt that the guests always felt that they were first priority. But really, really, we also felt that. Yeah. Yeah. So the family meal, for those who are aware, that we started with a family meal before the main meal with all the kids, and that was when my oldest, I have one older sister, her name is Yocheved Willig, and when her husband came into the family, he said, this is crazy. We have to like have a little family time. That's when we started, when they got married, and we had 13 children, and after they got married, we had one more, or maybe even two more. We had 12, and then we added two more. So So yeah, so that's when we started. There's really a story that I don't know if it got into the book or not, but I was standing right there when it happened. So it's very fresh in my memory that there was a very, very, very overweight woman. And my little brothers and sisters weren't really sure if she was a woman or a man because she was, you know, she had a beard and she had maybe three teeth in her mouth. She was very, very, very not, what can I say? Just like, yeah. And you know, we were like a little bit scared of her. She would smoke and she was just very, very not pleasant, very, very aggressive. And she came to the house and my mother said, she said to her, I want you to know, I mean, she's not alive anymore, so I could say her name. Her name is Leah. And she said, Leah, you are the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. And my mother said this with such a... It's in the book? Yeah. Okay, good. And with such love, and she was so real about it. And months later, this lady came back and she said, I want you to know something. She told us as the children, she said, when I came to your house that Shabbos, and we all remembered it because she was so interested. She was also barefoot. She came with no shoes. She was really, really, really big and she lived on the streets. And she said, when I came to you that Shabbos, she said, I decided that Sunday morning I'm jumping. There's nothing for me to live for. But when your mother came over and gave me that hug and said that I'm the most beautiful woman in the world, I looked in the mirror and I said, maybe I really am beautiful. She said, and that kept her going for many, many years until she, I think, was ran over or something. But years, years later. And my mother just said it so naturally, and she really saw her beauty. I don't believe that she was lying. Like, she really saw the beautiful neshama that this lady had, which I wasn't so hard to see. But she really, really saw how beautiful this woman was. So I think it's just about, you know, seeing the inner beauty of who the person is. In Parshas Vayera, it says about Avram and Sarah, when it talks about their chesed and their hachnasas orchem, there's a lot of sentences about how there was running and hurrying, and Avram ran, and they hurried up. So there's the El HaBakar Ratz Avraham, that Avram Avinu ran to the animal to shecht it, and Vayaretz Avraham, he ran, and he told Sarah Imenu, Maher Lushi Kemach, fast, make the breads, and Vayimaher Lasot Oto, that they told Ishmael, fast, you have to do it quickly. And I think that one of the main things is to just not make guests wait. Like, sometimes people, like, you know, until they come, until they serve, and they stretch their time. Like, if you see someone that needs something, just try to do it right away. And don't make them wait too long so that they won't have to feel like they're begging for a favor. And the mitzvahs, every mitzvah we do basically has a bracha for it, right? Asher kedishanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu al netilas yadayim. Asher kedishanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu al hafreshas chala. Al hadlakat nerot shabbat. Everything has asher kedishanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu, right? But when it comes to chesed, we never say asher kedishanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu al hachesed, al hachnasat orchim, al gemilut chasadim. You know, I'm about to give her some al hatzdaka. Why is that? Why don't we say a bracha on chesed? We should also have a special bracha. You know, asher kedishanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu al hachesed, al hachnasat orchim, bikur cholim. Right. And my parents really always said that the reason is because there's no time for now kavanas and brachas. We have to do it quickly. You know, they're here and we have to give a tzedakah, so just give it already. And if you have to give a meal, just serve them. And if you have to go make food quickly, so just give it to them and do it quickly. There's a famous story about the Bach, who... The Bayit Chadash, Rav Yoel Sirkish, a poor man once came over to him. He was in Sfat, and a poor man came over to him and said, I really need a favor from you. So he was listening, and he said, you have a student who's well-connected to a minister, and I need that minister to help me. I need that minister to help me sell my merchandise. So he wrote the letter to the student, And the student received the poor man and said, I could really help you get to this minister so you can, you know, so that you could sell your merchandise. The only thing is that I'm now going away for 3 months. So wait 3 months, and in 3 months I'll come and I'll help you out. So 3 months went by, and really he came to the rich man, and the rich man was able to help him, and he really got all of his merchandise sold. And then the Bach heard that the rich man was very, 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 very sick years later, and he went to visit him, and he said, I want you to swear to me that you will come to me soon after your niftar, after you die, and tell me what happened in the upper worlds. Okay, so that Friday night, the Bach came very, very late to Kiddush, and he said that the reason he came so late is because this man was revealed to him, and he told him what happened. He said, I went up to Shemayim, and I saw all my beautiful mitzvahs and the glory of the Torah, and everything was shining, and all the tzedakah that I gave, and everything. And they were, you know, they were walking me. All the malachim of all my mitzvahs were walking me towards Gan Eden, and everyone, you know, escorted me. And all of a sudden, there was this big black malach that walked over and said, "He's going to Gan Eden. I was created for those 3 months." Those 3 months that man waited, I was created from those 3 months. How can you send him to Gan Eden? And so the man told, the rich man told the Bach, he said, now I'm not here and I'm not there. I'm not in Gan Eden, but I'm not either in Gehenim. And he made a promise that he'll really, you know, daven for him and say Mishnayos for him. And every time he says the story, the man will go to a higher place in Gan Eden. But the point really is that we shouldn't make people wait. You know, like in Hebrew, there's a saying, "Haneshama yatzah," like our neshama already came out. Like we couldn't wait anymore. And my parents were very into people coming in right away. Serve them a drink right away. Serve them ice. My father was very into cold drinks in the summer and hot drinks in the winter, and always to have something to give them. And I remember sometimes he would open all the cabinets and say, what can I serve you? And they would say, we just ate. And really he wouldn't even listen, as if they didn't say anything, and he would just always serve them what they need. And my mother also would always just, you know, whatever she had in the fridge, whatever she had, you know, she would cut vegetables quickly, or you know, I remember in summers she would just cut a piece of watermelon, just like serve it. And it could have just been that it was a neighbor just coming by to ask for something, or just get some chizuk for something. But she always, like, served them and was very, very quick. Whoever knew my mother in the kitchen, she was like five people. She was very, 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 very quick. She just, like, made a lot of things. You know, she would say, it's just one bag of sugar, one bag of you know, two bags of flour, 12 eggs, you know, 36 cups of whatever. Like, she was just like, it was very, very fast. And and that was really her main thing. My brother at her shloshim actually spoke, and he said that, you know, she died at the age of 56. From breast cancer, and he said that because she was so quick and she did so much, and she was up all day and all night, so it was as if she lived really 110 years, 120 years, because she did so much in those little amount of years, and she was really, really, really simple. Like, she wasn't, we always say, like, we laugh among the siblings, we always say, like, if she knew that a book would come out about her, she would just be so embarrassed. She said, please, never, never. Because she was just so simple. She just went about her everyday life, but she always stretched herself. I remember that I was talking about the wall with the phone. We had a wall with the phone. And I remember we would say, oh, Ima, you have a phone call. The phone never stopped ringing. Like, it was just a never stop. And you know, I would say, oh, Ima, it's so-and-so. And she would say, hi. And I remember once I said to my mother, I said, Ima, it's so-and-so. I don't even remember who it was. And she took like a deep breath, like, ah, okay. And then she like she got, like, got herself to the engine, and she said, "Hi." And I just remember how, like, I just saw her struggle with, like, "I can't talk to this lady again." You know, they would all call with their stories, and sometimes they would keep her on the phone for a very, very long time. And she always said, you know, like, "Get me a bowl of cucumbers and I'll peel them, or carrots and I'll peel them," like, while I'm talking on the phone. And she would just sit there and you know, counsel them, and she would never say, "I don't have time." Like, there wasn't such a concept by my mother that she didn't have enough time. Like, there was always time. There was time for the kids, and there was time for the guests, and there was time for the phone calls, there was time for the cooking and the cleaning and the laundry. There was always time. And it was really amazing. And she always said, I have as much time as I need, as much money as I need, as much energy as I need. And she really did. She really had enough time for everything. I mean, she had these wish lists, very long wish lists of what she would want to be doing, but, you know, sometimes she got to them, sometimes she didn't. So the Chafetz Chaim, there's a book called Ahavat Chesed, which my parents learned together many times. I guess when we were younger, because I don't remember them learning it. And the Chafetz Chaim writes in there that you should provide fast. You shouldn't make them wait too long. And he himself had a very beautiful minhag of not saying Shalom Aleichem. He would come into the house after he came back from shul. He would right away make Kiddush and Hamotzi, start eating, and then he would say Shalom Aleichem, because he said the angels can wait with the food, but these poor guests, they don't have to wait. So he would never make them wait. And in the laws of Tzedakah in Parshas Re'eh, it says, "Dei machsoro asher yechsar lo," that you should provide the poor person with what they are lacking, what they are missing. So a lot of times, like, we want to provide the way we want to provide. We're having our menu, we're doing our thing, and they're our guests. Like, we are the people providing here. So when we grew up, there was no such thing. It was really like, demachsaro asher yachsar lo, what does this person need? And so, of course, like what I said at the beginning, it was like always like the emotional, you know, if the person needs a listening ear, a smile, you know, a good word, a hug. My mother was very into hugging people. Or just, you know, someone had a baby and they need a meal. Like, my mother would make meals for other people. Now, raising a family, I said, how did she have time? But she, like, always looked what the other person, she would just, like, you know, make, she said, "What's a big deal? I just made 2 extra chickens or 3 extra chickens. And I remember supper by us was always like a big, big, big pot. And I would say, "Ima, it's only us." And she said, "You never know. Maybe someone will come by that needs some food." She'd always pack people food when they left our house and make sure that they really had what they need. So there's a few stories that I don't know what's in the book and what's not, because I read the book a long time ago. So, you know, sorry if you read this. But there was a story about the famous fish story, which was a man who got up. My mother used to make gefilte fish, which is like sweet Hungarian fish. And a man got up and said, "You know, this is not how you make fish." And he was like yelling. And he said, "Who made this fish?" And my mother from the kitchen said, "Me." And he said, "I need to teach you how to make fish." And he came Thursday morning and he really made this strong, spicy, Sephardic fish. And that Shabbos night, he got up and he says, "Who likes the fish?" And everyone raised their hand and they said, "You know why you like the fish? Because I made it, not her." And my mother, like, was very cool with that. She said, "You know, I'm so happy that he has the fish that he likes." And that's it. And she served both kinds of fish. And my mother was very into making vegetarian soup and vegetarian chalent, because she said, "If I serve my chicken soup, what are the vegetarians, the vegans, what are they going to eat?" She would make a special vegetable soup, and she would make a special chalent for everyone. I remember she would buy, like, these soy hot dogs, and that's what she would put in as the protein. And then she would just put in everything else the same, and she was very, very, it was like one of the dishes that we had to make. It wasn't like an option. And as the years went on, we don't do that anymore. but as a child growing up, I remember we had, you know, two pots of, there was the vegetarian soup, and there was the chicken soup, and there was the vegetarian chalent and the regular chalent. And she did all of this just so that people could just feel at home. If they're hungry, they really have what to eat. And the seven-layer cake is a known story, and I know that that's in the book, that there was a lady serving with my mother's friend, Hannah, and she was serving with her, and a man comes in the kitchen, and he says, you know, I want that cake, and I want five pieces of it. And he says, five pieces of this cake, it's like an expensive seven-layer cake that the Brooklyn Bake Shop just came out with. And like every piece, like they used to cut it small so that everyone could get really a piece of it. And those were in the later years after my mother stopped making the chocolate cake and the vanilla cake she always made. And and the lady, her friend turned to her and said, what do you mean he wants five pieces of cake? He can get one. He's one person. She said, if he's asking for it, he needs it. And she taught us very much to always listen to what people need. If people are asking for a favor, they obviously need it. And sometimes you'd say, they're taking advantage of you, Ima. Why are you giving it to them? You know, like you should really just give them what everyone else is getting. And she would say, if they're asking for it, they need it. And there's another story that I think is also in the, I think also is in the book, that there was a man who's also passed away. He was like, when I was like a very, very young child, he had to have chocolate ice cream. And he would come almost every Shabbos, and we would make sure to have ice cream in the freezer for him. And everyone knew, like, no one touches that, that's his ice cream. And one Shabbos, he decided that he really didn't have where to be. And like right before Shabbos, he let my parents know that he's coming. He would sleep on the couch because he had no home. And he let us know that he's coming. And it was very, very, very close to Shabbos. So my parents didn't have a chance to buy ice cream. And it happened to be also a freezing cold winter Shabbos. So we didn't have any ice cream stocked up. And my father, like, literally, I remember this, knocking on everyone's door and saying, I really need chocolate ice cream. It's pikuach nefesh. I need ice cream. And he really, until he, like, finally got to one neighbor who really, really had the ice cream. But the man, it wasn't like he was like a, he was not, for sure not all there, but very far from being there. Like he was very like tactless and very like, I need the ice cream. Where's the ice cream? What do you mean you don't have ice cream? My father said, 1 second, I'm going to go to another neighbor, until he really got the ice cream. So it's like, de machsaro asher yachsar lo, like what the person really needs, from you to give them. It's not about you, it's about the person who's receiving. And I think that also we learn from Avram Avinu and Sarah Imenu that they were giving and giving and giving, but the Malachim weren't really receiving, right? Because they weren't really eating. They didn't really eat the food at the end. They didn't eat they were angels. So my father and mother taught us that it was about you as a giver. Become a giver. Don't become a taker. Don't give them in order to receive some feedback, like, oh, the food was so good, or, you know, it looks so good, or thank you so much. My mother very rarely got thank yous for her meals. Very rarely. Out of, you know, 80, 90, 100 people, she maybe got three thank you so muches, you know what I mean? And, you know, like, people, like, said, like, oh, like this. And a lot of times people came with demands, like, where is the kugel? Where is the salad? And my mother's like, look, we didn't, you know, it either flopped, or, like, we served it last night because we had too many guests, or whatever. Like, she would find herself explaining instead of really, you know, putting her ego in front and saying, like, this is not okay, like, I'm the host and you're the guest. So when you're doing, so really another point that we grew up with is that when we're having guests and serving guests, they're doing us a favor. We're not doing them a favor. So how does this work? Because we're doing all the hard work and they're just eating it, yeah. So the Zohar says that when Hashem loves someone, he sends a gift. And what is that gift? The gift is a poor man at the door. And she had a very, very famous story that she told many, many, many times over. And it was, she said, imagine a very wealthy person sitting in Muncie. and someone knocking on his door and saying, I need some tzedakah. And he says, oh no, another person from Israel needing money. So he just like gives him $2 and like slams the door. She says, but now imagine that he's sitting in his dining room and the phone rings. And the phone rings and he says, hello. And he says, oh, it's God. And I'm reviewing your files. I've been reviewing your files. And I found that you need one more mitzvah. And that's it. And the phone gets disconnected. And then there's a knock on the door. And then the poor man comes. So he says, how would that look? She says, you would welcome them and give everything you had and give them drinks and food and a nice respectable check because you have the means to give the check. And that's how you would do it. She said, that's really what happens every time we have someone calling and asking us for, you know, if they can come over for Shabbos, if we can do them a favor. She's like, that's what it is. It's Hashem reviewing our files and giving us another present. So when we saw poor people and when we saw an opportunity for chesed, it wasn't like, oh man, again. It was like, wow, okay, great. Like we have who to give to. We have what to do now. And it says, Ki ya'amod liyamin evyon, that Hashem stands near on the side, on the right side of the poor person. And I think that if we always see that Hashem is standing near the poor person, we would treat everything very different. We wouldn't think of it as such a drag. So there's the famous pizza story, which my father repeated at the Levaya, my mother's Levaya funeral. And that story was that there was an Israeli man, not an easy person, who he used to meet at the Kotel a lot. My father had a minyan for many, many years at the Kotel. And he used to meet him there, and all of his belongings fit on two chairs. It was his chair and his wife's chair. And he always would invite him, and it took him many months until he actually came to my parents' house. And the uniqueness about this man is that he had his own hours. And he would come to my parents very, very, very late. And my mother always would serve him, but there was one thing that he loved. And that was the famous pizza, the whole wheat pizza that my mother would make him. And one day my mother said, you know what, listen, the hours are a little bit late for me. She was probably pregnant or nursing or something. And she said, let me teach you how to make the pizza. I'll give you the whole recipe and you come into my house and leave the door open and you make pizza alone. He said, okay, deal. And she went and she taught him how to make the pizza. And one night at 3:00 in the morning, my father hears very strong knocks on their bedroom door. And he got very scared. And he said, who is it? It's this pizza man. And she said, how can I help you? He said, this is like off limits. You can't come to the back of the house. And how can I help you? He said, I forgot the recipe. I don't know how to make the pizza. And my mother got dressed and she said, you know, this is only a test from Hashem. Hashem just wants to see that we're doing chesed. So she quickly got dressed, got out of bed and made him the hot pizza. And that was my mother. Like, she's like, if there was a chesed opportunity, she always said, put on your chesed glasses to just see different opportunities of chesed. Where can you help another person? Where can you give to another person? How you can give it in the best way. Yes, my father has that much company, and my married sisters now, who live near him in the neighborhood, they help him out cooking. Yeah, and you almost wouldn't know a difference. I mean, my mother was the neshama of the house, but he really does an amazing, amazing job. Hashem should give him a lot of koach. And he would say, Yoter mimasha baal habayit oseim ha'ani, ha'ani oseim baal habayit. More than the Baal HaBayit is doing with the poor person, the poor person is doing for the Baal HaBayit. He says, you can't imagine what they're giving you. They're giving you so much. And that's really how we grew up. He said, you know, like, look, he said, look around the room. He said, we could learn from everyone here. And he would say, these people who never had Shabbos, look what enthusiasm they have. And these people, look how much, and really until today, from when he started, he gets one person to represent the table and share a teaching about anything. And he always learns from everyone, you know, something. And we always say, like, Abba, you know so much. Like, why do you need to hear them? And he says, there's so much to learn from every person. And to make them always feel that they're the person that's really giving. They're not the person taking. And if you ever saw my father giving, it's like, oh, just take. And it's never a feeling like I'm giving to you, so you're the taker. It was just always like a very natural kind of flow. In Perek Aleph, in Pirkei Avos, it says, Hevei mekabel kol adam besever panim yafot. Accept every person with a smile, and in a happy way. And then in Perek Gimel it says, in Pirkei Avos it says, Hevei mekabel kol adam besimcha. So the Yalkut Me'am Lo'ez says that in Perek Aleph it's really discussing more external. External is like just practice your smile. As Rabbi Yisrael Salanter used to stand by a mirror for many, many hours and just practice a smile of how the smile could look even nicer. And he would just smile and say, well, that's not good. And then smile again and say, oh, that looks already better. And just to really, really get it externally, but internally to have that real inner simcha and happiness, to really know that each guest and each person we meet is really a manifestation of Hashem. And my father just told me yesterday, because I told him I'm speaking here, I said, do you have anything to tell me or whatever? And he said that he just met a man who's, you know, who has a very, very, very hard life, who's been living alone. He said 21 years he's living in a community in Israel, and he wasn't invited once. So my father said, how much does a bowl of soup cost? How much does a challah cost? Like, and he's one man. He has one married child. But he said, how much does it cost? Like, no. He said, we have to really look out to see. And he was so pained by it. He couldn't believe that there was a person in a community for 21 years and no one invited him. So he said, we just have to look out. Like, who needs something? And he said, how much? He's like, it's not always about, he always tells us, it's not about money. My father doesn't have a lot of money. For all of you who know, it's in the book, it's everywhere. He doesn't have, but he has such a large heart. And my mother also had such a large heart that it wasn't about the money. It was just about giving and giving the other person what they really need. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not very forthcoming, but there were not tons of people out there.
Right, right.
There was one table.
Right. So I think my grandparents were very special people, and they did have people over in their house, but this is really something that my parents decided that they want to do in their lives. And they took it many steps forward. So I'm just going to conclude that with something that the Baal Shem Tov said. The Baal Shem Tov explained that everything in the world has six everything in the world is around the number six. Like, there's six dimensions of direction, right? There's like up, down, right, left, front, back. But then there's the seventh, and there's 6 days of the week, and then Shabbos is beyond, which is the seventh day. And the seventh dimension is the one in the middle of the six that holds everything together. So the point is that the seven inner point is what holds everything together, but then there's one even beyond that, which is the eighth light, which is the eighth point. And the eighth light is called the Zohar says that the way you reach the eighth light is through Oreach. What's Oreach? Or Shel Chet, the light of the eighth. And that's what a guest is. The guest brings you the beyond of the beyond, the light of the Mashiach, the light of the beyond. So I just like want to bless you all that you put on those chesed glasses and you're able to really see what's needed, and you're able to let people in your hearts and in your homes and in your lives, and not to be afraid, and to just do everything with a smile. It was so beautiful speaking here. Chodesh Tov. Okay.